Hello, welcome to ThickCast with your host today, Ricky. Now, today, for the first time ever on this podcast, we are flipping the script and we will be asking your questions to Miss Molly Edwards, who is my guest today.
Your guest.
Your guest.
On my podcast.
Yes.
Are you asking me any questions as well?
I've got two lined up because there's been quite a lot of questions asked. You're a very popular girl.
Are they good questions though, or are they like, would you rather have...
No, they are good ones.
Penises for fingers or penises for toes? Is that the question?
Probably toes. Because nobody really wants to get their toes out in general.
I stub my toe a lot though.
Imagine stubbing your penis. So this is the theme of the cast. No, first of all, I wanted to say thank you to everybody who listened to the last podcast that we did. I had feedback from my friends, one of which being there's too many C's in the name.
Yeah, but it's thick with three C's, isn't it?
And cast, there's four. It's too many.
I couldn't call it thick-assed, could I?
Also, what I did notice is I tended to repeat myself by saying a few phrases over and over again. And it was driving me crazy. So apologies to everyone else. Also, and I'm not sure if you've realised this, you might not have.
Right.
I speak quite quickly.
Yeah, you slowed down.
A lot. Because again, I noticed I spoke very fast. And not always clearly.
Yeah, I think I'm used to it. I just speak in my normal voice. But I don't think... I think my voice is quite understandable, whereas...
Yeah, if I started to talk like this, I usually do. People wouldn't be able to keep up. And I have to slow right down so they can.
Okay. Well, so, well done you. Remember your H's as well.
No. Take the boy out of London. You can't take London out the boy. So, let's kick things off with... the first question.
Okay.
How are you?
I'm good, yeah.
Okay, second question.
That was great.
You can elaborate a bit. Obviously, you flipped from not being in prep to now being in prep.
Yeah.
And you was in prep not that long ago, but you had years off of prep.
Now so I'm back in again.
You've gone from one extreme to another.
Yeah. Back in prep again. Day three today. If I'm honest, I think having such a short time off, getting back into the routine for me this time around has been so easy. Whereas normally I take like a few days, few weeks to really get in the swing of things.
I think it's more for you. Change is a big thing.
Yeah, I don't
know. So a change of routine gets you, you know, a little bit...
But,
yeah, and then you have to, it's time to get your head around it.
Yeah, and I think I've kind of not really needed that. Like, obviously my food's changed slightly, so I've had to check every meal, like, oh, was that many grams of rice, or was it a different amount?
Also, it's not just your food has changed, but your diet has changed completely in general, forever.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we'll come on to that in a minute.
Yeah, no, that's... That was one of the next questions.
Yeah. But, it's yeah.
This is called foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing, okay.
Yes, yeah. Very professional now.
Oh, you are. You've been on one podcast and you think you're like the bloody boy, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, so I've definitely found it a lot easier to kind of flip that switch over because I think I knew my routine going into it. Like, I train 4 days a week. Vaughan's put me on 6 days cardio. I know that I like to then train Monday, Tuesday, rest day, Wednesday, but complete rest day, so no cardio on a Wednesday, train Thursday, Friday, and obviously do cardio those days as well, and then do cardio Saturday, Sunday. And I felt like I'd already trialed that method before.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that worked in terms of like the best recovery for my body.
Yes. Also, with your line of work, moving forward into the new year, March, April time.
Yeah.
When shows do come up, you have that flexibility to go to shows.
Yeah, that's why you are
at every client show.
Yeah.
Because you can do both. You can tick your boxes and tick theirs.
Yeah. And that is obviously something important to me. And that's kind of why I started this kind of routine of training. Whereas a lot of the time I would say to people, train on the weekend, because like for yourself, that you normally don't work weekends, but yeah, you don't normally go to shows until you met me.
Yes.
Actually, training at the weekend for you was quite good because it gave you like a little bit more time to do your session in.
I'd leg day on a Saturday. It was my favourite day of the week.
Yeah.
Because like everyone, Monday to Friday, you're in a rat race.
Mm.
And of course, you still find time to train throughout the week. But legs is my favourite thing to train. And I'd rather do them on a Saturday when I'm feeling fresher compared to a Friday night, for example. Saying that, I am now training legs on a Friday night, just so obviously you and I can have quality time, or at least have the option to have quality time together.
I think now as well, like we had a busy year together as well last year. Well, this year, weekends, like I was at shows, you wanted to come along with me.
Weddings.
And we had a lot of weddings.
Which we have another one.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks.
Get married. So.
Seven
weddings. It's a lot.
Yeah, it's too much.
Do you know what? Some of my friends from back home messaged me the other day and they were like, oh, like, are you around on Saturday? And I was like, no, because I need to finish this year the only way I know how and go to a hen do.
Yes.
And they were like, are you joking? And I was like, no. Yeah. I was like, don't worry, I've got another wedding before Christmas as well.
Oh, God, yeah, we have to. And imagine somebody gets married on New Year's Eve that we know.
Oh, yeah.
That could happen still.
I think they would have told us.
Yeah, Lonnie is my sister. She was very late to the party.
She was. We'd seen her literally like, what, 2 days beforehand?
Yeah, we dropped my niece and nephew. Yeah.
And then she texts us both like 2 days after with a wedding invite.
Yeah. But
I don't think we can swerve this one either, can we?
Well, no, because obviously we've been lumbered with a very important job.
We have, yeah.
So we're in. So moving on from the how are you question. One thing I have noticed that you haven't done this month is what you have been doing throughout our time together is you usually do a little carousel of each month on your Insta.
Oh, do you know what? I actually made one and then I went to post it and I was in the gym so it crashed and then I forgot to redo it again.
Well, that's fine. I'm just asking what was on that? Talk about your November.
So my November... Did it start off in Poland? I think
yes.
So.
Yes, yeah, the first weekend
started off in Poland. We went to the pro qualifier out there to watch Jade, who looked amazing up there, didn't she?
With Jade, she was very happy with her own package.
Yeah.
And for her, that's big.
Yeah.
So for her to be happy with
and
her
I
look.
And I actually think for bikini, that's the main thing. Because like we said when we were out there, it's...
I think it's just bodybuilding, period.
Bikini is just...
It's very ambiguous now, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't. So she did a pro qualifier in France.
Yeah.
And the girls were tight.
Yeah, they told her to come in tighter.
So she came in tighter and she was too tight.
Yeah. And like that is what is so difficult with bikini. And I think, do you know what? And when you look at pro qualifiers as well, I think you see a lot of girls and they're out there and they're like quite unquote chasing the pro card and they're going country to country to country to try and get this pro card. And I think a lot of people from the outside looking in are like, well, they haven't got it like first 3 times, like clearly they're not good enough. And I think that the issue is with bikini, because it's such fine margins and each head judge wants a slightly different look, it's not necessarily that person isn't there yet. Sometimes it's just like they need to tweak, and it can be literally you're wearing a red bikini and I don't like that, so you came second, you didn't get your pro card.
We actually saw that, didn't we, in Poland. There was one girl, great physique, but the hair did not do her any favors, and the girl who wore leopard print
she wore a leopard print bikini again. And I said to you, didn't I, I was like, that person won't score as potentially high as they could, because their whole overall look isn't right.
Yes.
And I think
it's very rare nearly all bikini girls, especially the top level, very pretty.
Yeah.
Face cool. No, I know you should be judged neck down, but you're just not.
No, because so it's such fine margins in bikini.
And if you're going to turn somebody pro and have them on pictures and the face of potentially your show next year, or you want them to look good.
Yeah.
Which again...
Well, technically, actually, in the criteria, it does say femininity.
Okay.
So it should show femininity. So as much as people argue, like, it shouldn't be, like, a beauty pageant... Which it shouldn't, it's still femininity, and you should still look feminine up there.
Yeah, you can look feminine, but you could also look feminine and not be the prettiest of girls.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Thanks Bertie.
But,
yeah, the winners of each class and the top three in the overall all look very similar.
Mm.
As in, the conditions all very similar.
You could tell.
Yeah, they were looking for that look. And as great as Jade looked, if she brought Poland's look to France, she might have been favoured better.
Yeah. Which she did well in France.
She did. She did very well. Yeah, That's why, obviously, you would go to another show feeling confident.
Yeah.
But it just shows how difficult it is to nail a bikini look from show to show.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, it's those small tweaks that you can get on that stage. Be told, you know, and I was watching a girl saying the other day, she did a pro qualifier and they were like, come in leaner. So she came to the next show leaner, and then they're like, you're too lean. And she was like, great. And like, that's it. That's bikini. And like I said, you can... I think Chloe Pickford was saying she was doing her pro debut or one of her pro shows this year. And they were like, we don't like this colour bikini. So for finals, she put on a red bikini and went back, and they preferred that look.
Okay.
And it's literally, that's obviously Chloe's wellness, but it's still those fine, fine margins that you need to think about.
Yeah. It is an overall package from top to bottom. Even the right shoes, type of shoes, colour shoes.
Yeah.
All plays a massive part.
Yeah, massively.
So Poland was the start of November.
Obviously, I was meant to compete in Poland, decided to pull out. I basically was just holding water. And we couldn't work out why. Like, my digestion, every time we tried to peak me, my digestion would be off. I either couldn't go to the toilet, I was going to the toilet loads. I was just holding water, I was bloated. And we tried different methods. So for two bros, we carb loaded me, like front loaded carb loaded me. And I was full for two bros.
Yeah.
Like I.
Yeah, you're.
The day on two bros, like I didn't really eat anything, did I? I think I had like a little bit of dark chocolate, a little bit of chicken.
Yeah, a few rice cakes as well, but.
I had like two rice cakes before I popped
out. Literally a few.
Yeah. So. But I was like. Muscularly, like, I think that I was full.
It's the throughout obviously our prep.
Yeah.
We would go into the posing room. You'd hit your poses, and you're dealt to be flatter and flatter and flatter to the stage where you'll pop
like
a pose. Yeah, and then you go like that, and I'd be like, "There's nothing. There is nothing there." And because we're both. Experience, we understand that's a necessity.
Yeah.
We both found it funny.
Oh, yeah.
But then flip it to two bros, it's the most full I saw your delts in a long, even after high days, they weren't that full.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. But this is why, again, if you brought that look to Poland,
yeah.
Probably would have done quite well.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah.
Because you were full, the condition was about on par of what they were looking for.
Yeah, I still think I would have been need to be a bit tighter.
But that's what I was about to say. It wasn't the condition that you wanted, but then you thought, okay, this is just a tick box show. Because it gets me to where I want to go to. So you weren't overly stressed about not nailing condition there.
But we knew we needed to be close because I was planning on doing France, wasn't I?
Yes.
The week after.
But that didn't happen.
Yeah. But we knew I was, it was a funny one because we kind of knew I would probably hold a little bit of water at two bros and I wouldn't be quite 100%, but we thought then that the water would drop off going into peak week for France, and we just kind of reversed me into France, and that was kind of the plan. So I looked full, and I think if you took my silhouette and not looked at like condition, just took my silhouette, like I really, really liked that shape.
Yeah.
Like I looked really bubbly and full, which I liked, but it just wasn't, I was just holding so much water.
Are we going to talk about why that is, or do you want to finish off talking about November 1st?
Yeah, no, I was going to say about PCA when I went into Jersey then.
Okay, that was, yeah, we can do. That's, that
I
was
knew
in
we
October.
Were going completely off.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean.
but yeah, so I then did obviously Jersey, and then Jersey we decided to take a completely different approach, and fat load me. And no, we didn't fat load me. We just reversed me in for a bit, didn't we? And then we just went pro fat.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I was so flat in Jersey.
I actually think you looked better at Two Bros.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think though the problem was.
But we know the reasons behind both
of those.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So the reason we'd kind of done that is because normally if I was flatter, I'd be tighter. So it was like, well, we'll bring you in flat but tight. Because that's what kind of PCA tend to go for. So I was flat, but I was just watery again. And we didn't really know why, because it's I hadn't had any carbs. So there's no way I could have spilled, because I'd literally just eaten fucking chicken, whey and dark chocolate. That's all I'd had, wasn't it?
So going back to the question.
Yeah.
I think you missed a day or two right at the start of November because you had quite an important call.
Yeah, so I think, yeah, going on to that, we knew after PCA Jersey, like, I was pretty much done. I was like, I don't, my body wouldn't respond. Going into Poland, we thought there's so much that needs to come off.
At the time, there was 2-3 weeks to get it off?
Yeah, I would have had to have pushed cardio so much. I'd have had to push steps so much. I would have had to pull back on work to be able to do that. And it was just like, this isn't going to happen. So we decided to go to Poland anyway, didn't we? Just watch the show and have fun. And
yeah, because we already paid
already
for flights.
And Poland is cheap. Like, if I get Poland anything, it's cheap out there.
Also, side note, Warsaw is stunning.
Warsaw is beautiful, yeah.
Beautiful. The buildings, the churches.
Yeah,
The statues, just the architecture in general.
If you want a good stunning weekend away and you don't really spend a lot...
I think
those flights, because like, we did it a bit weird, didn't we? Because we did the ones over from France. But I think flying over there, I reckon you get flights for about £130.
Maybe less. We just paid £40 to fly to Milan.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can get it cheap. And I think the Airbnb was £90 each between four of us. So again, you could downsize and get it cheap. But
that was 3 nights?
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 nights. And when you're out there, food is...
And yeah, it was very, very easy to travel around as well.
Yeah.
Uber's cheap. Town centre's beautiful. We went to a candlelit...
Chopin concert.
That's right. And then had food there. And what I love was the literal translations on the menus. So they had obviously a Polish side and an English side, and it says it in a Polish, so you flip it over. I think your one was duck, beetroot.
No, with beetroot.
With beetroot,
duck with beetroot, yeah.
And then mine was meat, potato. It's like, cool, I'm okay with meat, I'm okay with potato. Let me have that. And you like duck, and you haven't had duck in forever.
Oh, I fucking love duck, yeah.
It's so good. So... Beetroot. It's like cold.
I like beetroot.
But honestly, they both plates came out, and your one looked like a gourmet dinner.
It was fine dining.
It was beautiful. Yeah. It was tasty.
Yeah, they both were.
That's what I mean. Really both. Good. And my portion was big. It filled me up, which is not often that happens anywhere. And I think we had a couple of drinks as well. I had a couple of drinks. You don't drink any booze.
No, but I did have non-alcoholic Prosecco.
Oh, yeah. So all of that, £25.
Yeah, I think it might have been a bit less than that, actually.
Was it?
But yeah, it was cheap. Whereas you look at them when we were in Milan.
I know, it was 22, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when we went to Milan this weekend just gone.
This is what I was getting confused with.
Like, a pizza was like
25.
£20. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was cheap out there. But yeah, yes. So we went out there still. But yeah, before... Yeah, so I kind of decided to pull out Poland. And then me and Vaughan were like, we need to work out what's going on. I'd kind of... So in 2022, when I was first ill, the guys at Eval did me like a full blood panel. And Dave said to me then, I think you've got this Hashimoto's condition. And I was like, oh, right, okay. And it affects your thyroid. And at the moment, it's not really doing anything. But in the future, your thyroid could slash will shut down because of this. I then took that to the doctors, all the blood tests, and they told me that I was being stupid. My thyroid was absolutely fine. Because, yes, my T3 and T4 levels are fine, but my thyroid antibodies are not fine. So that was... But they basically just said that... They told me David scammed me.
You didn't tell me that part. That's
it's brilliant. Told me David scammed me. And I was
that's
like...
That's so funny.
No, I really don't think he has. Like, it's a really shit scam if he has.
Okay, so what would the scam be? I need this girl's blood... And I need to lie to her why I need it.
Yeah.
And then what?
Even
what
though
does
like,
he
it's a certified
do?
Lab and he tests yeah. the NHS as well.
Why does he? Why else would he need your blood?
I don't know, but she literally just stood there and shouted at me for ages. And I was like, do you know what the mad thing is? In that doctor's surgery, I've been shouted at for so many things, and all of them are completely ridiculous.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, I got shouted out for that, and I got shouted out about my excessive steroid use. I never told them that I took anything, but they decided I did because they said I was a bodybuilder, and that's the reason I was ill, apparently.
And,
it's not.
But at the time, you didn't.
I wasn't taking anything.
You was told about this very early on.
Yeah, and I kind of said to Vaughan about it, and we thought, okay, like, is the reason I'm not dropping weight? Because, like, this... Prep Just Gone is the most I've ever pushed.
Yeah.
In terms of food.
But the food was at an all-time low.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, going through show to show to show, not off-season to off-season to off-season, you gain muscle, you get bigger, but you don't necessarily get as fat as you were previously.
Yeah.
So, in theory, you shouldn't need to drop calories so low. You shouldn't need to do as much output.
Yeah, and also because of how I'd prepped as well, because I kind of prepped in two parts. I prepped early in the year. Had some time off. In
Why did you take
phase.
Times off? For weddings.
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 And Hendus. And Glastonbury. So I'd taken that time off, held, I think I put on like in that whole time, like a kilogram or two.
You dropped after Glastonbury?
Yeah, I dropped a kilogram and a half after Glastonbury. But that was actually when I'd actually been prepping for 2 weeks, then did Glastonbury. And Vaughan was like, oh, you'll come back home. And I was like, mate, I don't drink. I'm going to be doing about 5 million steps.
Yeah.
I'll be fine. I was. But that kind of interim period as well, my calories did build up. My cardio dropped out. I think I got to a point where I probably wasn't doing any. Knowing me, I wouldn't have been doing any.
No,
I hate it.
You didn't. I can tell you for a fact you didn't.
So I'd kind of also had that interim period. And then I had 12 weeks in the second part of prep. So, again, in that theory, my food had dropped, but then it had gone back up, and then it dropped again. So, my food shouldn't have had to go that low.
And also, you started from a better position the second time around.
Yeah, yeah.
So, from January to whenever you stopped, you looked very different from June to when you carried on.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, like, I know even from, like, my 2021 prep, yes, I've had a lot of time off, but actually that time off hasn't all been training. You know, I had a year... very little training in the gym, like I just couldn't do it. So in that time frame, obviously I have built muscle. Again, you would expect my food to be higher, you'd expect my output to be lower, but it was the complete opposite. Like my food was low, my cardio was the highest it's ever been,
900 calories low, and was it 80 minutes cardio high,
90 minutes was cardio 90 high, I went the highest point. Yeah. I think I did like 18,000 steps a day.
Yeah.
Obviously, fat burners in that as well. I use, previously I just used clenbuterol. This time around I used clenbuterol and Yohimbine. Didn't use T3 because of obviously we weren't sure with this kind of thyroid thing that we knew was going on. And then we kind of were like, okay, maybe it is my thyroid. Maybe my thyroid's crashed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why I just couldn't drop weight. I was holding we just we knew something wasn't right.
So we had that tested again from Eval, who, as we've just established, like, wants to steal your blood.
Yeah, wants to steal. They're just vampires. They just everyone. No, all jokes aside, though, Eval are like literally
amazing.
Amazing, like
They
are
12 out of 10 for everything. Yeah, they're just superb company.
And it's just things like, obviously I know Dave and Shoshana personally as well, but like Shoshana's doing my blood and I was like, Shoshana, like I think my thyroid's crashed. And she sat with me, did my blood, kept me, I'm terrified of needles.
She was so good, I didn't know she did it. And I was in the same room.
Yeah, talking to Grumpy Dave.
The blood thief. the scammer.
So, and she sat there and she's like, Molly, like, whatever this is, like, we'll help you get through it. We'll help you, you know, if your thyroid has crashed, like, I'll help you. I'll send you books. Like, I'll go through everything with you. Yeah, like, we're going to make you better.
One of the loveliest people I've ever had the pleasure of meeting.
Yeah, they're both of them. They're wonderful people. And what they do as well for the bodybuilding community is incredible. Like, the people they've helped.
Yep. There's a reason why they've stayed in the game so long.
Yeah, because it's for them, it's not just making money. It's not a business.
No, they put health first.
Yeah.
Which is quite rare in bodybuilding.
Yeah, it really is. And like, I've had so many conversations with them both and they are just incredible people. So if you need your blood stamp, they have got clinics all around the UK. Go and book into one and get it tested. I actually got mine done at the PCA final, so it was the week after Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Went and got my bloods done. Dave didn't give me a sticker, but he did draw a smiley face on my plaster, so...
Because you were very brave.
I was brave.
And you proceeded to show everybody how brave you were.
I was very brave.
And then it got to the stage where it kind of looked like you were a junkie.
There's only one.
Look, everybody.
I am brave. But that came back normal again. My T3 and T4 levels came back normal. So everyone was like, okay, we're going to book a call with Dr. Dean. He was like, I don't know anymore what's going on.
And obviously from you and I, both coaches, so looking at it from Vaughan's perspective, Vaughan would have been pulling his hair out.
Yeah,
because he.
We all were. Yeah, because we couldn't work out what it works.
None of us could. So obviously Vaughan couldn't quite understand why he couldn't get you looking your best.
Yeah.
And if you strip everything back, it's like, what other approach could there be? And we come up with some ideas before the call with Dr. D, and it's like, potentially do it this way, like, do it that way,
negligible,
but
negligible, really.
Yes, exactly that. It's just that's one of the things I was saying a lot last time. Yeah. Exactly that, or this is it. So I need to stop saying those so frequently. So hence why you and Vaughan were on the call with Dr. Dean. Yeah,
because I think we needed to work out what on earth was going on, because it didn't make sense. We knew something wasn't right.
Also, I'm very happy Vaughan was on the call, because your memory retention is terrible. So I would have asked you how the call went. You would have been like, yeah. He said things.
I did take it in, to be fair. But it was hard, because it was... What is wrong with me is so complex.
Yeah.
And he described it in such a complex way. And I'm listening to this call and understanding the reason I've been struggling. Like, and it's not even just like struggling with bodybuilding and training, it's like my whole life.
Yeah, it was bigger.
And I think people don't realize like how much this illness has affected me. Like, I had a year when I couldn't even drive my car because I was so scared of falling asleep. I wouldn't leave the house by myself because I was so scared of falling asleep, and I would be putting myself, obviously driving, you fall asleep, you're in a dangerous situation. But if you leave the house, and like, we go into London quite a lot, if I decided now I'm going to go to London, it would be fine. But if I decided I'm going to go to London and meet a friend, it wouldn't be safe for me to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, it wouldn't, because if I'd gone into one of my sleepy states, if I wasn't with it, it's so easy, especially as a woman, for someone to just take advantage of you.
Yes.
And like, you see it all the time. People are just walking, you know, down the street, and like, it is bad in London, let's be honest, and they're having their phone snatched out of their hands as they're like just taking a picture. You imagine that if you can't even literally work out the words to speak, it's like you're not safe, and you're not safe anywhere.
It's almost like your body is in permanent shutdown mode.
Yeah.
But you don't know when the shutdown will happen.
No. And no matter what I was doing, it wasn't fixing it. And yeah, my training was obviously out the window. My training obviously is one of the things that really helps me with like my mental health as well. So that was gone. Going out for walks by myself was gone. I feel safer when I'm with the dog. Like, I'll say that much.
Yeah.
I would go out just like...
when he wants to go out.
when the king himself decides.
Molly has a spaniel and he acts lazier than my bulldog. Which says everything.
He's fine once he's out. He just doesn't want to get off his throne.
He doesn't want to get off the sofa. He doesn't want to put his lead on to walk. He doesn't want to...
Go down the stairs.
You had to drag him out. Yeah. And what was the reason you didn't want us to get a bulldog?
He's a fucking lazy. No, it's because he doesn't like his lead. I know what it is.
I know, it's the whole thing. So yes, back to the call.
Yeah, I think it was like understanding. And also when you've been in that position for so long, you've been, and I honestly have been to the doctor so many times. I've had so many blood tests. I've paid to go private. I've had my friend Olga, bless her, who's a nurse, had come in with me and she had literally shouted at nurses before because they weren't taking it seriously. I've had multiple people look over my bloods and try and... because every blood result I got from the NHS, I would request it as well. I've had ECGs. And I gave my bloods to people like Romana and Dan Bastic, who were obviously like really mm-hmm. intelligent.
Yes.
They looked over it. They couldn't see anything. And yeah, it's one of those that you're trying everything and it's just like hitting a brick wall. And the life kind of that I had before, you just think like that's never going to come back again. But yeah, I'm on this call and he's basically saying to me like, look, I know what's wrong with you. What is wrong with you is reversible. You can have a normal life again. And I think that whole feeling was so overwhelming that I was glad Vaughan was there to just make sense of it and be able to listen.
Yeah, for sure.
Because everything to me was so overwhelming. But he was, and then he, bless me, rang me afterwards. And he was like, hey, like, what did you understand? And went through it all with me. And so essentially, I do have this Hashimoto's thing that David said to me back in 2022, which the doctor said, you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
But what I have is... stage 3 subclinical. So essentially with the disease that I have, it's an autoimmune condition.
Yep.
And with it, and this is the great irony of the NHS, so it attacks the thyroid, but because my thyroid's not shut down yet, the NHS don't see an issue. And therefore it's subclinical because my thyroid is still working. Now, when I get to stage 4, if I get to stage 4, because hopefully, like, with diet and things, like, I'll be able to really control this for as long as possible. Had I not had that call with Dr. Dean, obviously, I would have got to stage 4 and then probably stage 5 as well of it. My thyroid was shut down at stage 4. Then it would be clinical hyperthyroidism. And then they'd go, oh, you don't have a thyroid that works anymore. That's annoying. Let's put you on some thyroxine.
Which, again, wouldn't really help the underlying issue.
No. Yeah, so you would still have... yeah, you probably still would have issues and it could still go to stage 5, but they would start to deal with it and the thyroxine would help.
Okay.
So David kind of said to me before, you will get to a point where you go on that. But obviously the doctor says there's nothing wrong with me, so they wouldn't look into it. Essentially, though, and I probably am not going to get this quite right because it's really fucking confusing, is what happens with my body is the Hashimoto's does attack the thyroid, and that's part of it. But the other thing that it attacks is certain proteins when they enter the body. So it doesn't recognize them as like a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
It actually recognizes them as a negative thing and attacks it. So that's like the autoimmune part. So autoimmune is essentially a condition where your body is attacking itself.
Yep.
So when I eat dairy, gluten and soy, which obviously I was doing both when we were carb loading and when we were
pro fats,
because in the chocolate I was eating, there was dairy and soy. Obviously the whey there was dairy. Mm-hmm. I was eating bagels, I was eating squares bars.
Yep.
I would say probably caramel rice cakes are not gluten or free, or the caramel might have some milk in it. I'm not sure. Anyway.
Either way, you had a lot.
I was eating stuff.
Yeah.
Even things like sauces, the coffee was I was drinking, yeah. I would always have coconut milk in the coffee. Coconut milk is fucking banging. I think that's what I miss the most. But that's got soy in it. So yeah. I was constantly eating these things. And when you don't realise, everything's got fucking soy in it.
Yes. The amount of... We could probably say hours now that we've scanned every label. Even so, obviously, all supermarkets, most supermarkets have a free from section.
Yeah.
We have picked up packets of everything, scanned everything, be like, you can't have that. Oh, no, you can't have this.
Because even if it says gluten and milk free.
Yeah, gluten, dairy free, soy.
Yeah.
Okay, it's cool. What's next? Oh, this one doesn't have soy. No, it's got dairy though. For fuck's sake.
Yeah, and it's hard.
It gets to the stage where you're so confused that you will say something, people are like, no, that's obviously gluten. We know this. We don't even need to check a packet for this.
Yeah, it's really hard.
It's been a minefield, but...
Everything that doesn't have it in tastes like fucking shit.
Your brownies were okay.
Yeah, that I made.
You baked. That was another thing from the previous podcast. The feedback was, you have not cooked for me, you've baked for me.
Right, wow.
So your brownies didn't taste like shit.
I cooked rice for you today.
Did you cook rice for you at the same time?
Yeah, but in two different pans.
I'm not sure that counts.
Yes, it does. But yeah, so essentially, so when I eat dairy, gluten or soy, my body attacks those proteins.
Yes.
Then I'm not using the energy from them, which is going to cause some fatigue, and also why I was probably having to do much cardio and everything, because my body's not utilizing the food it's got. And also that then leads to leaky gut. Now, what I think was making it actually worse and why I wasn't as bad in prep is because when I wasn't training... And I was first ill. So I first got ill actually because with Hashimoto's, stage one is basically you have the gene.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a genetic condition. And I had salmonella food poisoning in 2022. And I basically never recovered from that. And essentially what happened was that virus turned on the gene. And this can happen in lots of autoimmune conditions. It basically turned on the gene and... That's it, you can't turn the gene back off again.
Yeah, so you can't even, once you stabilise everything, you can't reintroduce gluten, dairy, soy.
No,
it's a lifelong
This is a
change.
Lifelong condition, yeah. And even sort of my diet out, it's going to slow it down considerably, but it won't ever fix it. So the gene was turned on then, and then... Obviously, I was very ill, and I think that leaky gut was the issue. So, obviously, the salmonella probably didn't help that either.
Yeah.
I obviously wasn't in prep at the time. No, I was in prep, actually, and I pulled out.
Yeah.
I kind of went into off-season. I wasn't really tracking what I was eating to a point.
Is that because you just didn't have the energy to... think about food or eat or
partly but also partly because I wasn't training
okay
like I wasn't able to because I was so ill I wasn't able to train like I go into a gym and I kind of fall asleep
mm-hmm.
And I look back as well and actually like so my diet now doesn't even when I was on prep didn't actually have much gluten in it anyway
no it would have been just bagels
yeah But then I did
Oh, no, you didn't have oats either, did you? Only.
Yeah, cream and rice, which is fine. But yeah, then my diet did have bagels in. It did have wraps in because I was living in the van. That was much easier than rice.
Yep.
So all of those things obviously are very gluten heavy. Obviously, I was also eating kind of more carbs and stuff because we thought maybe it's like my body's not recovering. There's something there. I need to fuel it. So I was doing that. And then I obviously just wasn't... I would never say I ate like a dick in that time because it's not me. Like, I like healthy food.
Yeah, you're not super food orientated. Where
no.
If, yeah, you just don't eat
like that
badly.
Year that I wasn't training, I was still having bacon, egg, bagels every morning for breakfast because that's what I like.
Yeah, I do think it's difficult for when a bodybuilder stops bodybuilding to then go to what average... people.
Yeah, I was still eating.
Yeah, you still eat what you know, eat what you like.
Yeah, I was still eating chicken, vegetables, and a carb source. So I was eating gluten, I was eating dairy because
why wouldn't you? Because,
yeah, exactly. And I was probably eating more of it then. But essentially that leaky gut, and anyone that suffered from it before causes things like extreme chronic fatigue, which is essentially what I've been suffering with, it can cause depression and anxiety. It can cause inflammation around the joints. It can cause, can't remember.
All the issues you just said, all the symptoms.
Yeah, yeah.
You had all of those?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I can't remember what else it caused now. But anyway, it causes a lot of issues. But basically, that's what was wrong with me. That was causing the chronic fatigue. So when I prepped, and me and Vaughn found it really interesting, we were like, my whole prep, I only had one or two chronic fatigue episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the whole way through my prep. And, like, that's massive, right?
Yeah.
So...
Well, put it in context, from not being able to train for a year to stepping on stage.
Yeah.
That's a vast difference.
Yeah, and I think it was probably because the gluten and dairy, yes, it was still in there, but it was greatly reduced. And also, you know, the soy was still in there, certainly, but it wasn't as much. And also, even like with the whey, you know, like I'm fussy.
Yes.
And like the whey I have is a very good quality one.
Yes.
So things like that would have made
Shout
a difference.
Shout out to Alpha.
Shout out to Alpha Neon. Like, I am genuinely like, what are you doing?
Showing them Alpha.
Oh, right. Yeah,
I'm not just hitting you up on camera.
This is the jumper I stole off Adrian, is there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He lent it to me and I was like, this is my favourite. Honestly,
it does look better on Adrian.
You've never seen it on Adrian?
Oh, I imagine.
Jamie, that's like the most depressing thing now. It's like I've gone from like this super high quality protein that tastes fucking amazing... to essentially, if you ever want to know what vegan protein tastes like, go out in your garden, grab a handful of soil.
Does the soil have to be wet or dry, just for people to...
Dry. Really, really dry. So maybe not at the moment. Wait till the summer. Go in the garden, grab that really dry, dusty soil.
Yeah, so it, like, you hold it and it just explodes, clumps in.
Yeah,
yeah,
that stuff, yeah. Chuck some of that in with your oats. Then just half, maybe not even half a teaspoon, but like, maybe like one single chocolate chip actually.
Oh.
Yeah. And then mix that together. And that is the flavour of chocolate vegan protein powder. That's what it's like.
For the record, that's not Alpha's protein.
No, that's not.
Yes. Their protein's really good because I've gone through many tubs because you can't.
Yeah, and I'd actually fully stocked up. Yeah. I've got like a full thing of... the blondie one, a full thing of chocolate one.
And carrot cake.
Some carrot cake and some butterscotch pancake one.
Yes, and it's been great for me. So, Hashimoto's, leaky gut.
So now it's fixing it.
Which, there is no fixing, which you said.
There is none.
But there is, you are managing it.
Yeah.
And you can, because you're managing it so well, does that taper down all the symptoms?
Yes.
But you won't fully eradicate it. So you still you still could have the odd moment of fatigue that isn't normal fatigue, or
I think it'd be really rare. No, okay, it'd be really rare because it's the leaky gut that's causing that. So if you can fix the gut, you're not having that leaky gut.
Yeah,
and that's fine. But so the one chronic thing, fatigue should go.
The one thing we do need to watch out for, even though we have excessively been reading labels, you can have a flare up every now and again.
Yeah, so that's if it's cross-contaminated.
Yes, or... and obviously we know what happens when you do, because you did have one the other day, but Dr. Dean did warn you about that. He did say it will be uncomfortable, painful.
Yeah, and that was only 4 weeks after obviously cutting everything out. But yeah, essentially, by stopping, and he basically said as well, that the reason I couldn't get lean wasn't actually because I wasn't lean. It was because the amount of water
Three to 4 kilos of water?
3 to 6.
3 to 6. Bloody hell. Six. That's
I probably don't think it was 6, because obviously we did run like some diuretics and stuff. So no, I think but it would have been more on the 3 side.
If you at your lowest, I think it was 57.
Yeah.
To be your best, 54, 55 on stage.
Yeah.
So if you probably would have been that.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
is the weird thing.
And obviously, I wouldn't be so fatigued. I'd feel a lot better. Yeah,
fatigue management would drop off me
better.
You can push harder in the gym, so you just get that little bit better. Everything just gets a little bit better.
Yeah. And obviously, there's other doors that's opened as well. Tons of PDs to actually support my thyroid as well.
Yes.
So, yeah, there's obviously going into this prep, I think... In some aspects, obviously, I'm not very far from post-show, but in other aspects, I'm going into it a lot healthier because I've not...
You're much more well-educated.
Yeah, more well-educated. And, like, obviously, I've still got Hashimoto's. It's never going to go away. But I've got control of it now, which I haven't. So, yeah, essentially, and that's also why post-show, I put on so much weight so quickly.
Yes.
Because, again, we were like, why the fuck... Because you spent every day with me.
Yeah.
Why the hell? I put on like 6 kilograms in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think it was more.
I think it might have been. And I wasn't eating like an idiot, was I?
No, God, no. No. That's the thing, because you said your last post-show rebound was horrific for you.
Yeah, like I binged really bad. Yeah. I really, really struggled.
So I was obviously, I was fine. Mm. And my last one I did early this year, I was fine. So I was very much focusing on you.
Yeah.
And I was, after about a week, 10 days, I was like, I don't need to worry.
Yeah, I was
this
fine.
This is fine. But obviously, like, we would stick to our normal foods, but if we was out and about, if we was in a supermarket, chocolate bar might fall in your hands.
Yeah.
And you eat it.
Yeah.
Don't know how it fell there, but that's a conversation we don't need to go into.
Yeah. I think I had one hormonal day when I was like, give me your cookies. But...
Is this the day? Actually, I remember this. Because for a longer period of time than you should have done, or that you should ever admit to, you were tantruming that you wanted to be a man.
I know, I still feel like that.
Yeah, but it was intense.
It's, you should probably explain it. It's just because hormonally, like, I fucking hate being a woman.
Also, I know I can never relate to how you are with your hormones going up and down, and left and right, and here, there and everywhere. All I can say is, from a man's perspective, we have to deal with you.
Yeah, but it's easy.
Oh my God, it is not.
No, because it's easy. All you have to do is just give me the cookies.
But they're mine. No, that sounds like a dick move. I'm pretty sure there was a pack of 5 and you had 3 of them.
Well, I bought those ones, to be fair.
So... They were my post-workout cookies. Train 4 days, 4 cookies, 1 spare. Yeah, cool. Everything stocked up for the week. Have it. 3 cookies ended up in your mouth.
I was very hormonal that day. But anyway,
I did
handle it a lot better.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
Like, yeah, we're making a joke out of the fact I was eating your cookies. But like, realistically, like, I wasn't eating them like every day. I wasn't really sick of it.
I think the only time... So the first, we were really, really good. And then we went into London, went to the Van Gogh exhibition, walked around for quite a bit, had Thai food.
Yeah.
That was like our closest thing to a takeaway or
we did
an off-plan meal.
I think because neither of us eat dirty food anyway.
No, we don't. But that was the closest thing we got to
just dirty food.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it was, yeah, but I was just putting on so much water retention, I couldn't work out why. But obviously that explains it, because again, I was having gluten again, I was having more dairy, I was having more soy
probably. Like literally as well. Soy sauce.
Oh yeah, I fucking chuck soy sauce on everything as well.
You could you'll do it shots if you really wanted to.
I love it. So yeah, that's basically why I was just retaining so much water going into shows, and why when we ran high days, even on prep, like it just wouldn't come off. Yeah.
And it wouldn't have mattered if you carb loaded,
fat loaded,
anything irrelevant.
Yeah, it wouldn't come off. So we know what kind of went wrong. We know how to fix it now.
So the plan of action is actually much more straightforward.
Yeah.
And because you, again, you're starting from a very good place, you're not going up to high levels of body fat.
No,
you should,
I think
again,
I'm...
be pretty easy to... your prep won't be as difficult the second time around.
No.
The way I saw it after we had this conversation, you did a prep and you got to the end with the handbrake on.
Yeah.
Because it was a slog.
Yeah.
And it was tough. And the handbrake's off because you know everything. You know where you're going. Yeah. You know the directions. You know the route. This is
driving it now.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah. And luckily you don't have to drive. Vaughan's doing the driving.
Yeah, he does the driving.
You're just the passenger princess as always.
Yeah, and I think as well, like for me, I felt like almost like I'd never reached the end of the shows I did before, because I never did the shows that
you were happy you did a prep.
Yeah,
but you were really not happy. Satisfied.
No,
by any means.
The shows that I did. I did the Two Bro Show, which, if I'm honest, like, I didn't really enjoy it.
Yes, yeah, that's anybody who has had the pleasure of working with Two Bros might have their own stories to tell, very similar to what you do.
But I did PCA Jersey, which I did love. I really enjoyed PCA Jersey.
Yes, lovely and people, fantastically ran show.
If you are competing that time of year, just go over there and do it. It's so good. And I did really enjoy it, but the shows that I'd really wanted to do that year were the PCA finals and an abroad show.
Yep.
And I didn't get to do that. And I think that's what was so frustrating. And had I gone to PCA, like I qualified for PCA finals, had I gone the next week, looking at that lineup, I probably would have been about sixth in that lineup.
Because you could have been holding much more water because the approach could have been different.
True.
But like, okay, you looked flat at Jersey. Let's carb you up.
Yeah.
So you look fuller, but again,
I could have held more.
Yeah. So you just
You don't know, but I reckon I'd probably been sitting about there, and like that kind of wasn't, you know, for me, my goal was to get that top three at British Finals.
Yep.
And I think, again, I would have probably walked away a bit disheartened.
Although,
but also, I know now, going to go, like seeing it, that's not where I want to go anyway.
That was exactly what I was about to say. Now we've seen it, that's not the look you want.
No, and I think for some girls it is, and like...
Oh, more power to them. Yes, the girls, PCA bikini girls are as conditioned as PCA bodybuilding boys.
Yeah, but
there was girls with quad striations. Feathering,
glute serrations,
everything,
like it's mad. And if you are like a long time listener and listen to this podcast a while, I always had Josie on here before, and she said that for her, like, Two Bros isn't the look, and if she goes and competes with them, she doesn't do so well because she just doesn't fit it.
Yeah.
Whereas when she does PCA, obviously she's a pro with them, she does really well.
Yes.
She looks fantastic.
But then it comes back to the whole IFBB judging criteria. Which look do you bring to which show?
Yeah, but I think you never would go as hard as what you
would. Oh, no, definitely not. But they still have to find that right balance.
Yeah, 100%.
So we've spoken about day one of November quite at length.
Yeah.
We spoke about the weekend in Warsaw.
Yeah.
What was after that?
We just lived life, didn't we?
As anybody post-show should.
Yeah.
I think people get so caught up having to be perfect post-show, and it's not possible.
Yeah.
Also, you neglect the fact that you do need to live your life yes, you might have like dieted for 20 plus weeks, and if you've your first ever prep, then generally speaking, you seem to not be as sociable as we were, because we've had the experience. We know it's okay to do these things and still stay on plan. But a lot of people find it very difficult to adjust out of a prep routine.
Yeah. I think it's finding that balance as well, was like, because do you know what, I think on Instagram, it's funny because when I first started bodybuilding, it was like, post show, you shouldn't be putting on like weight, or like very minimal weight, and you don't never want to go above 6 kilograms above stage weight, and like stick to plan, all this like absolute bullshit that used to go on there. Whereas I actually think now, like, it's gone in the complete opposite direction. But I actually feel that some of that is also really damaging, because now it's like, balance, live life, like, eat that pizza, girl. And you're like, okay, cool. But that equally can fuck you up.
You can have the pizza, just don't have the pizza every day.
Yeah. And it's almost kind of like you go into post-show and then it's like anti-bodybuilding almost.
Oh, the my pet peeve at the minute is... And I've been guilty of it in the past. People who have pictures of them eating a big donut or a big cookie, posting it as soon as they get off stage. Like, it's the most glorious thing they've ever put in their mouth.
Yeah.
And it's like, what, you've never had a cookie before? You've never had a donut before? Mm-hmm. All you've done is do a bodybuilding show. And now all of a sudden, this is incredible. And you're glorifying it.
Yeah, it's like glorifying binge eating.
Yeah, exactly that. Again, need to stop saying that so often. But no, you are right. It is glorifying it. And that's not...
But also, like, if you go into this, like, kind of anti-bodybuilding lifestyle because you finished, like, a show, and you think now, like, oh my God, like, life is for living, and I'm going to go get pissed at the weekends, and I'm going to eat fucking pizza 5 times a week because hashtag balance. That's not balance. That's... You're not going to make any progress in that off-season, and you're going to come back on stage and look exactly the same.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that you can't have an off-plan meal, and I'm not saying you can't ever drink again. Like, for me personally, when I, like, part of the reason I'm teetotal now is I don't drink, is because I was like, I want to take bodybuilding seriously. And I've actually done research on how alcohol affects your body.
Yep.
It, and it is so fucking negative.
Yeah.
It literally... in a
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? This drug that they're pushing on you is bad for you. But it does. It inhibits fat loss, so you're more likely to hold onto fat and burn protein and burn muscle.
Yeah.
It stops you from growing as quickly as well. And I think people don't realise that. I think people just think like... Yeah, it's off season, so it doesn't matter if I get fat, so I can drink alcohol.
But initially, like, post show, then first 4, 6, 8 weeks.
You need to be crucial. Careful.
You really do need to be careful. So, yeah, this is what you handled very well the second time around. Fantastically well, in fact. And we did live life.
Yeah, we had like an off plan meal every week.
No, I tell you what did happen, which was actually probably quite big now on the face of it. You now live in London.
Yeah, I moved to London. Yeah.
Did you want to sound happier or?
Well, I like living with you, and I like.
Do you?
Well, sometimes. I like the gym here is obviously really good, and I mean, to be fair, I love the gym back at home. I love the atmosphere. Yeah. But then obviously it's a bigger gym here. So that's great. But.
It's very, very different to Devon.
Yeah, it's not as safe.
Yeah.
And
because, like, for example, where your mum lives, there's no neighbours.
No. So,
per head, yeah.
I don't even have a key to my front door.
This still blows my mind. People in Devon don't lock things, their cars, their doors. We went to your old man's.
Let's not tell everyone this because everyone's going to be breaking into people.
I'm not going to tell where people live that you like. We'll tell the people you don't like where they live.
Yeah. I'll give you some addresses.
Yeah, we'll just post
if
them.
If you want to rob someone, DM me.
But the first time I went to your old man's with you, just walked in.
Yeah, he was home.
Not, yeah, I was there to see him. So.
Yeah, yeah.
But we just, I was, Right, you're not going to knock. You're not going to let him know that we're here. No, just turn up, walk in. Like, this is weird.
He's my dad as well.
No, but even if I was to go and see my parents or my brothers or my sister, I would let them know, one, I'm on the way. And two, let them know that I'm like close by or knock on the door. And then, I'm close by. And three, knock on the door.
Shut myself in.
Yeah, it's just very strange behaviour.
Wow.
And it's everywhere.
If I go to see my friends, like some of them, like they live in flats, so you have to knock on the door and be buzzed up and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But like other friends I've got, I just walk straight in their house.
Yeah, no.
It's not locked. Well, obviously, to see them, I wouldn't walk in if they weren't there. They'd lock it then if they were going out.
I know. If I knew my friends were out and left their house unlocked, I would be there. Just to fuck shit up. Just to rearrange things and just walk out calm. Like, they would not know who they were, because I'm a bit of a dick. But it'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
Especially Hector, because he's very much a clean freak. So if I walked into his place, just rearrange things. Not mess it up, because he would piss him off and he'll know. Yeah. But just rearrange things in a different order. Oh, the fun.
Dear.
This is probably why Devon's safer.
Yeah. So I moved up here and then we went to Milan.
Yes.
For a weekend.
Yes, you made me
you hike up a mountain.
Climb up a mountain. The guy who weighed 100 kilos, you made me climb up a vertical slope. Yeah. My back is still broken. My calves and ankles are just...
It's good for you though.
Yeah. I mean, we were above plains and above clouds and suppose that was all right.
And you could see the whole of Lake Como, or most of Lake Como.
Oh, no, you could see like a sliver of it, because Lake Como is massive.
Yeah, but you could see a lot. And when we looked for that bit, you could see a mountain with snow on the top, which was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yes. We got to see the lake from a higher point.
Yes.
Who would have thought it climbing up a mountain?
It was good there. We had a nice time.
So there you go. There's your November post posted on your pod.
On my podcast, yeah. Oh,
that is alliteration.
If you want pictures, I'll have to post that, won't I?
So I have questions.
Yes, let's get on to questions. I feel like we've chatted loads of shit.
We have chatted loads of shit. So let's try and do these quite quick fire.
Go.
Has Molly considered doing figure?
Yes. But, so this is the thing with figure. I could potentially, and I may next year do figure in a show like UK UP.
Mm-hmm.
And I would obviously do toned figure, not athletic figure.
Yep.
I'm not big enough, I won't be lean enough. And I'd actually really love to, because I want to make up a routine. I really love figure posing as well. I think it's lovely. You can throw your arms about all sorts. I also actually think it would be great for business. And I've said for a while that I would like to do it. I fit in bikini best. Like, if you look at me structurally, I fit well into bikini. Also, you've got to take in consideration your goals. Like, my goal is to turn pro within the IFBB at some point. I don't expect it to be next year at all. And I think I've got a shot at that in bikini. I don't think I'd have a shot at that in figure. They're just so much bigger.
So much bigger.
And I think, for me, that's the federation I want to go down. I want to have the experience of competing abroad. That's what I want to do.
How's London life?
It's all right. There is good things about it. Like, there's good days out. Obviously, my stepmom lives down the road. We went to visit her.
There is a lot, or an abundance of things to do, especially compared to Devon. We are spoiled here, where we could go to any part of London and spend the whole day there.
Yeah.
Central London, that is not...
Yeah.
Yeah. Best and worst thing about bodybuilding? I want you to say just one of each, because this could be a tangent in a half.
Best
thing?
I think the best thing is the fact that it can teach you so much about yourself. I think that's the best thing. And the worst thing is... I think that there are a lot of coaches out there that take advantage of people, particularly women.
Yes, agreed.
Either in health ways or actually sexually as well.
Yeah.
If I'm completely honest.
Yeah, it is quite disgusting. this person would love to know more about being assisted as a female athlete. Curious how it all works.
It's quite an open question.
It is. So
I'm very open on here. I would say that you, as a female, I think you should compete naturally first. I think you should see how you like it. See if you actually enjoy bodybuilding itself. And then really consider things. So firstly, I'd be looking at someone's age. If you're like a junior bikini athlete, like 100%, like I don't think you should be jumping on the cycle. I just think you're too young, you've not reached that natural potential yet. And also like,
that's okay. That's all right.
Like that would have been a really good reel.
That's okay, we can salvage it.
Yeah.
Just for the record, we were recording this.
We were recording it on the camera as well.
The cameras ran out of battery.
Yeah, so I think that age is a big thing. And I think that also when you're young, if we're all completely honest here, when we're in like our early 20s, most of us were sniffing coke in a public toilet or something disgusting. And that's one stupid decision that probably a lot of us made to do with drugs when we were younger. But that doesn't have the long-term effects as, well, potentially doesn't have the long-term effects as anabolic steroid use can. So I think you need to be really aware of those risks going into it, and I don't think you should be doing it young. I think you need to wait till you're a bit older.
Older, experienced. Also, yeah. Have a coach who very much knows their stuff.
Yeah, like,
and then consult with your coach before starting anything. Always, always, always get the most from the least.
Yeah.
So take the least amount as possible, so it doesn't affect your health, as we just mentioned, but it will still make a difference to your physique.
Yeah, and I think I'm not going to sit on here and be like, this is what I took and this is dosages, because I think that could be really dangerous because someone could copy me.
And anybody who does that, never copy them.
Yeah, it's because disgusting. That would be fucking stupid.
Yes.
But yeah, I think you need to realise that as well. And you really need to understand the risks of what you're doing when you're taking it. Like, obviously, there's fertility risks involved there.
But this will all come if you have a good experience coach. Yeah. Remember, these are quick fire.
Sorry. Yes, but if you want to know more, drop me a message and I will happily chat to anyone about steroids, my personal experiences,
experiences goes with clients,
yep. Anything like that. Like, drop me a message and I will sit and talk to you about it all.
Yep, same with me. Exactly the same. If you want to ask about any PEDs or bodybuilding questions in general, even going back to our previous podcast where we spoke about couples. And again, that window is still open. That will never close. Right, next question. What's your biggest pet peeve you see in the gym? There's a few for me.
Yeah, probably. So one of the gyms that I used to train at, I am someone that doesn't feel uncomfortable in the gym. Like, I train at Craigford with you, and there are guys there that, like, fucking IFBB pros and all sorts, and I don't feel uncomfortable training there. There was a gym that I was training at for quite a while, and I did feel uncomfortable training there. And the reason was, is because I would get So I have my headphones on when I'm trained. Sometimes there's no music playing through them. And I would be able to hear people talking to men, talking to their partners in the gym, being like, no, babe, don't lift that weight. Like, you'll get really bulky like that woman over there. And I'd be like, I'm not even that big, but okay, I'll take that.
So your biggest pet peeve?
No, it's my pet peeve wasn't about people saying shit to me, because I don't care what some bloke with smaller arms than me thinks, because I didn't even train arms. My pet peeve is the way that they speak to their partners, and the way that, even in like 2024, coming into 2025, there are still men out there that feel like we should be pushing women out of the gym. When actually, if you look at all the science behind it, women actually get a lot more benefits, health benefits, from lifting weights than men do. But they still decide to tell their partners that they might get bulky if they lift over 3 kilograms.
So your biggest pet peeve?
Is men, basically.
Okay, it was meant to be just in the gym.
Yeah, but isn't the the gym.
Yeah, but men in general, 2 weeks being to apart, there's like shit outside of the gym as
well. Yeah, but it's not.
So, for example, my pet peeves in the gym, people who wear lifting gloves, people who smell.
Oh, yeah, people that smell is disgusting.
People who shadow box or golf swing.
People that wear Crocs.
See, these are the pet peeves I mean.
Yeah, people that wear Crocs.
Yeah,
Crocs. If you are
people
someone,
who have Wolfpack bags.
Right, shut up. But if you are someone that is taking steroids, yet you are training in Crocs, you need to think about your life. Because if you are someone that's trying to get the extra 1%, so you're taking steroids, you could get more 1% out of not training in Crocs and training in proper gym footwear.
It's honestly small dick energy. Training in Crocs.
Yeah, it's not that though. It's the fact
that I understand actually, what you're saying, but we're trying to keep it light-hearted.
Yeah, well, I'm saying it negatively affects your ability to lift.
Okay. Remember, quick fire.
Okay.
we've covered this one already. What inspired you to get into bodybuilding, and was there a turning point?
Yeah, so I did gymnastics all through school. Left school, was like, I need to do something to keep myself fit. I used to go swimming, but there was a gym above it, so it was like a leisure centre. And I'd go in the sauna, and people were like, you need to go in the gym. And I was like, no, I'm not doing it. Never wanted to go into the gym. And then for a New Year's resolution, me and my friend Emma decided that we would actually start going to the gym. We were going to be brave. and we then actually... So my grandpa was really ill at the time. He'd got dementia. And we decided to do some fundraising for Alzheimer's. And that would kind of give us this goal to work towards in the gym. So we did. We did a colour run and then we did a Tough Mudder as well. And obviously to train for that, we had to lift weights and run as well. And we did that. And we raised a lot of money, and he told me he was really proud of me. And then I had a friend who said to me, you know my friend Richie does my massage and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he said to me, there's this show in literally in Biddeford College, and it's a bodybuilding show, but there's like some powerlifting going on and like all sorts of bits and pieces. He's like, you should come down, like you and Emma would really enjoy it. So I was like, yeah, cool, like we'll come down. Didn't really know what it was about, just thought it's a nice day out, we like sports events.
And there's not much else to do.
No. that was the last time the Biddeford bodybuilding show was on. But yeah, we went down, we watched it, and this woman turned around to me and she'd seen me in the gym. And she was like, oh, I've seen you in the gym before. She said, you know that... I go to all these bodybuilding shows, so I really enjoy watching it. She said, you know that, you know, you could do this. I think you could do it really well. So I just kind of went, yeah, all right, I'll do it. So I did it.
There we go.
And I actually saw her, the same woman. It must have been in 2022. We were back in 2021 at my mate's wedding. And this woman came up to me and she was like, you're Molly Edwards, aren't you? And I was like, yeah, who the fuck are you? And she was like, I don't think you remember me. She said, but... there was a Biddeford Classic bodybuilding show, and she said, and I was there, and I told you to get on stage and compete. And the bride and groom were obviously friends of her, and they'd shown her the photos of me. And she was like, and I've seen all your stage photos, and you've done really, really well. And like, I just think that's amazing. And it was really weird that that woman was at that wedding and was like,
She knew what she was looking at.
Yeah.
Like a lot of things, is it more expensive for women to bodybuild than men?
Yes, and if men fucking turn around and tell me that it's extortionate, the price of their fucking pants they wear, they could shut the fuck up.
I don't think any man's ever said that, to be
honest.
No,
they have.
Oh, they're idiots then. No, what I was going to say is yes and no.
The steroids is more expensive.
Yes, but obviously there's other female classes who do take steroids
and
bigger they
get.
Yeah. But yes and no, I mean, our food is more expensive because generally we eat more than you. Over a 20-week prep, that adds up a bit more. No, because our stage look is very low maintenance.
Yeah.
Like a tan, if you pay for a tan, we pay the same money.
Yeah.
But we don't have to pay for hair. We don't have to pay for makeup.
No.
Take
jewelry,
the
shoes,
yeah.
Bikini.
Exactly. The bikini itself is extortionate money.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, that bit's definitely more expensive. But as you say, food and gear, it's not going to outbalance it, but they're the bits.
And to be fair, if you were to take a natural female and a natural male,
women way more.
Yeah.
Way more.
Yeah.
For sure. Person who inspired you or had the biggest impression on you in life, not just bodybuilding, can be from anywhere.
Probably my auntie Noan.
Oh yeah, she's adorable.
Yeah, she's just amazing. She's just
genuine heart of gold.
She has been through some really crap times, to be honest, and she never lets it get to her. And she's just like, okay, this is shit, and I'm gonna go on my 1,000-year-old laptop and research all the books in my library, and I'm gonna find a solution to it, and I'm gonna fix it, and that's what she does.
Yeah,
and I just think she's amazing.
What's more difficult, bodybuilding or CrossFit?
I would never do CrossFit in my life because I don't want to injure myself further. So
yeah, I think
I'd say dieting wise, probably bodybuilding.
Yeah, I mean, but even training wise, if you truly train to failure, and you're doing that 4 or 5 days a week every week, that's hard. Like, with obviously the CrossFitters, I'm not saying their training is easy by any means.
No,
it is intense, but it's very short.
Yeah, no, they do some quite big bits as well. I'd say the training's kind of on par, because actually as well, when you look at it, you go into a CrossFit competition and like, yeah, it's hard, but also you're well fed. You go into bodybuilding show.
You're
in a prep and you've got to do like, say, like I've done HIIT in a prep before.
Yeah.
And you're eating like a fucking 1,000 calories and you're going to do an hour's HIIT. Like, fuck that, man.
Yeah. Okay. Any views on synthetic fibers used in gym wear? Do they disrupt hormones, etc.?
Yes, I have actually. This is really racking my brains now because I have looked at this years ago and it can affect it, but I would say that it's really, really negligible. So, in terms of like, so certain synthetic fibers can plug in air fresheners. Can tap water can, because it's full of fluoride and it's actually really not very good for you. Smelly candles, like all of those things that with like pollution in the air can actually negative like affect your hormones. I would say that it's quite negligible though. 9 times out of 10, if you are someone that is struggling with a hormone imbalance or you're struggling with not being able to get your cycle back post show, it's not 9 times out of 10 because you've got a candle that smells like lavender. Yeah. It's because your nutrition or your training isn't correct. More than likely your nutrition.
Okay, so a few light-hearted ones. I'm going to save the best one till last because I think you'll know who asked it.
Okay, cool.
But Ricky's worst quality. Just say one. We don't need a tangent again.
I just have to be careful not to get cancelled here. his like cleanliness. that's not maybe your worst quality.
I'm so gutted the camera's cut out because if you could see my face when you
not maybe
when
that you're
when
clean actually.
My worst quality is that I'm clean.
No, it's like your obsessiveness over like, so if you wash up, you have to put like, you know those, we've got one of those washy up sticks.
Yeah.
You have to put the washy up stick in the right corner of the sink.
Because it's closest to the plug where, you know, the sink goes down into the, so it drains better.
Right.
There's logic behind everything.
Yeah.
It might be flawed logic, but it's logic, damn it.
Yeah. Or maybe that you're so black and white. Like sometimes it's irritating how black and white you are. You're like, well, it is or isn't.
Yes.
And that's it.
Well, if it is or isn't something, so yes, it would only be those two things.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's probably. Yeah, probably like just your flawed logic.
How decisive I am with a yes or no, even though there's no yes or no question.
How angry you get about it?
I don't get angry.
You're like, no, you do. You're like, well, it is or isn't, Molly. Like, what one is it? Like, just I need to know.
I don't think that's ever happened.
Yeah, no, it does. I don't think you realise.
Okay, I'm scared to ask this one. What's Ricky's best quality?
He doesn't have any. He's
his cleanliness.
His teeth.
Wow, what a catch I am. I have teeth.
You have good teeth.
Yeah, they're all mine.
And a full head of hair.
Again, all mine. I have not been to Turkey. Well. I haven't been to Turkey for my teeth or my hair.
I know. You're doing well, babe.
Okay.
No, probably like how caring you are and how much, as much as, like, we always say that you're black and white and I'm very colourful.
Mm.
And as much as you can't understand that there's more colours in the world than black and white, you do try to understand. And I think now you do see in maybe black, white, and maybe like red or something, like a dog.
So my best quality is that I'm like a dog.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, final question, because this podcast definitely needs to end after that last question.
Is that all of them?
This is the last question.
Oh, okay. I thought you said there's 13.
Yeah, you've gone through a lot.
Oh, I'm doing well.
So this, obviously, we was out Sunday night watching music. So this this question is, why do people like caravanning? This is a very fair question, because I don't understand it either.
Okay, so...
And you know who asked this.
Yeah, I do. And what I would say in response to that is caravans are shit and get in a camper van.
Okay. Why do people like camper vanning?
That wasn't the question.
It's the 14th question.
Okay. Because it's a sense of freedom that you'll never get anywhere else. And I think that you need to try something before you decide whether you like it or not.
And that is the end of today's podcast, because I will argue this off air. Thank you for listening. Oh,
okay, you do it. You sign off. You sign off. Go on. Quick.
This is my podcast today. I will sign off in my own time.
Go on then.
Which is going to be now, because you said. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening. If you want to get in contact with Molly, how would they get in contact with you?
My Instagram is mollyjane_bikini. Or you can drop me an email as well at mollyjanecoaching@gmail.com. That's all the information you get. You're not getting my number because I'll get weirdos.
TikTok?
Oh, yeah, I have got TikTok. Oh, that's mollyjane_bikini as well, actually.
There we go.
And if they want to get in contact with you.
And if you want to get in contact with me to ask me any questions about today's podcast, to ask any questions about pets, ask me any questions about prep, or just ask me something completely random, because we like random questions every now and again, like the penis for fingers and toes, as you said.
Yeah.
Then get me on my Instagram. It is Ricky Stevens BB. Anything more to add today?
In the comment section of this, wherever you're listening to, I think you should just write, or if you share it on your stories as well, just share it on your stories and just put penis for fingers or penis for toes. Just put your answer with no context.
Yep. We need to hashtag that to make a trend.
I mean, we could try.
Yeah.
Share, like, subscribe, follow for more, because there will be more podcasts. I'm going to do some more solo ones. I might bring Ricky back if you like him. And I will bring some other guests on here as well.
And I, too, will be back. And if you like Molly as a guest, then I might get her back on this podcast.
Oh, okay, good. Thank you so much.